Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter, freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask to you. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing, better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. That was not Billy Joel's My Life, because, of course, this is Kevin Cry and this is my show. But I chose Elton John's I'm Still Standing because I think that is the theme for me right now. And I'll tell you, like, some of the lyrics where it says, you know, well, look at me, I'm coming back again. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? You know, regardless of the outcome of this coming election, which we're going to jump into here shortly, I am blessed beyond measure, and my cup runneth over. I am so excited to be with you here on March 10th, broadcasting live from KCNR, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You can always listen to us on the World Wide Web, KCNR1460.com, and these shows are also archived not only on the website but on my VoteKevinCry.com website as well. So with that, let's get to the weather, brought to you as always by Weather NorCal and Mike Kruger. He is a friend of mine, and it's not a paid advertisement. I chose to use his weather service because that's where I go to get my weather, and I can always rely on it because he's been here a very, very, very long time. He knows North State weather, but also he knows North State people and what's important to them. So here we go. Here's his report. We're starting the morning dry with overcast skies, but the rain will hold off until later this afternoon and evening. As the cold front pushes through, we can expect periods of moderate to heavy rain along with gusty winds. Once the main storm moves out tonight, there is another weaker storm that will impact us Monday and Tuesday. There will be scattered showers on either side of it, with the main impact Monday evening into Tuesday morning. As we enter into the middle and latter part of next week, we will get our first taste of spring with sunny skies and highs well into the 70s. Mike Kruger from Weather NorCal will iron out those details as we go into next week. So again, go to his website, follow him on Instagram, Facebook, etc. Weather NorCal, Mike Kruger. Mike, thank you. I did wake him up this morning because I sent him a text and said, hey, Mike, I need to get that text. And, of course, clocks have sprung forward. So he was still sleeping. He was getting that extra hour back. And I woke him up. So, Mike, thank you for getting that to me. I appreciate that. All right. With that, we have a pretty jam-packed show this morning. So buckle up. And let's just jump right in. Yesterday, I attended arguably the most impressive and toughest thing I've ever witnessed in my 47 years on this planet. I attended the memorial service for the two young boys who tragically lost their lives a couple weeks ago out by the dam. Both young boys attended Pathway Church, and they truly had a love for Jesus, but that's not what made the service impressive, however. It was the parents and how they spoke and praised their Savior for giving them, their boys, for 10 years. And the father of, and I won't say their names and give particulars, even though it was attended probably by well over 1,500 people, because, I don't even know. They were using multiple rooms and venues at Pathway. But so I won't go into specifics of who said what, but one of the young men's father spoke, and then one of the other young men's mom and dad both spoke. And it was just, and I told Pastor Bill, who's the head pastor at Pathway, that more people will probably come to a faith in Christ from that service yesterday than probably even Easter. And it was because of the strength that the parents, and I'll say especially the mother of one of the boys who I've known for years, like years and years, back, well, when she was in high school and I was coaching, didn't coach her, but I coached a lot of her friends. And unbelievable strength. And my hat's off to both families. But we're praying for you. We love you. This community really came out in droves. And, you know, as a son who had to tell his father that his son had passed away, that was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life, telling my dad that my brother had passed. Just knowing what I think it's every parent's worst nightmare to lose a child. And that's the one thing I've really just, I would say, essentially begged the Lord for, is please don't put me through that trial, because I've seen my parents walk that and others as well. But anyway, I'll get off that subject. But what it does is it just puts life into perspective. And without perspective and a focus on a North Star in your life, you just wander. And everybody has a different North Star. For some people, it's their career, it's their family, you know, it's vacations and life experiences. That's what they chase. Personally, for me, my North Star has always been my faith in Jesus. And it's what's carried me, especially my family, these past couple years. And if you don't know what your North Star is, I'd encourage you to figure that out. And if it's not Jesus, I'd encourage you to check into that. And I'll also say he's got an amazing sense of humor. He's got an amazing sense of humor. So, but yeah, figure out what your North Star is and just go towards that, because I'll use that to segue into the topic of this coming week's Board of Supervisor meeting. I've really struggled back and forth if I'd go to the meeting this week if I was not winning or ahead in this election. You know, but again, going back to my North Star, as I prayed about it and really just kind of meditated and thought about, you know, how I want to do it, and knowing that whatever I do, my kids are going to see it and my kids are going to learn from it, good or bad. And, you know, a verse, and I'm not going to make this whole thing, super, spiritual, I would say, but I think I just have to speak from my heart. And I think that's when things come out probably the best. But Acts 20:24 has been a verse I've leaned on a little bit. And it says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So that's a reality. I am so blessed. And honestly, after seeing the families this weekend, moving forward in such a way, it was beyond words inspirational about how to truly live our lives and what's really, really important. So with all of that, I'll definitely be there chairing the meeting. And I know Supervisor Kellstrom's excited because he came to agenda review in the event that I didn't go. And so I'll be there carrying on, because I feel that's the right thing to do. And, you know, people started texting me the day after the election saying how sorry they were that the election didn't go my way. And I even had elected officials texting me, you know, and what that showed me is how much reform or like public understanding there is around the election process. You know, when you understand how the drops go, and I'm doing drops in air quotes because, you know, it makes more sense. People don't, you know, the drops are what, when the results are posted online, those are called drops. So, you know, we'll get into that a little bit right now, you know, about how I'm feeling. And, you know, I feel great because my world is not politics. It's definitely, not politics, you know, and you have to remember, I've had roughly 4 campaigns and 3 elections in less than 2 years. I had the primary and then the general in 22. And then I had, you know, which each of those have different campaigns when you're talking about, you know, because those are 2 different elections. And then I had the campaign during the signature gathering, which, of course, there's no election. And, you know, now that, of course, there's the recall election itself, which is, again, an entirely different campaign. You know, in the first race, I didn't win in the primary of 22, but I did move on, and I won the face-off with my opponent. And, you know, this time they did collect the signatures, and there was a campaign to try and hopefully they wouldn't get the signatures. But again, they got them. And so I moved on, and here we are. And will history repeat itself? Maybe, maybe not. But here's what I do know about my race. I'm going to jump into some numbers. So if you have a pen or paper and you want to write this stuff down, you know, great. And if not, you can always email me, Kevin@votekevincry.com, or message me, and I can send you this data. If you're a numbers person and you kind of like to get into the weeds, in the primary 22, I received 35% of the first drop. That means the very first batch of ballots, I received 35% of those. And in the general, I received 46%. And in this election, I was right at 45%. And the first drop contains all the ballots that were received via the post office or that were turned in to drop boxes around the county prior to basically Friday of the week before the election. So everything that was mailed in prior to the election on Friday and even Monday, like whatever the post office delivered to the elections office, all of that was processed, and that is what the first drop was. All mail-in ballots that were collected, you know, the first 29 or 30 days prior, that's the first drop. And obviously, as you can see, 35 and 46 and 41, those three percentages, that has never been a great drop for me. The when you look at the numbers about, because you know you say okay 35 and then 46, but 41, you know you're going backwards. Well, the amount of voter turnout, right, is a little different between the primary, and this voter turnout is actually kind of right in between the primary and the general. So those are the first drops. The second and the third drops are people that voted on election day at the precinct and doing it this way. They would go, they'd sign the voter roll or the roster. They'd be given a ballot. They fill it out, and then they put it in the clear box. Or they would, the person that votes election day, technically, goes into the precinct. They take their ballot out of the envelope, and then they put it in the clear box. That is what those 741 votes in District 1 were. Those are called election day votes. And on those second and third drops, in the primary, I received 58% of those votes. And in the general, I received 61% of those votes. So 58 to 61. And in this election, I was right at 74%. Now, that bodes really well for me because conservative voters are steadily supporting me. But the one thing that, of course, is the outlier in all of this is, you know, did enough people turn out? And we won't know that ultimately until final numbers are calculated. But we also know that there are over 900 ballots that are officially called, vote-by-mail ballots, but they were turned in at the precinct. Let me explain what that is. That is people that fill out their ballot. They sign where it says signature on the envelope. They seal it, and then they walk it into the precinct, and then they put it in what is now called the black box, right? So there's boxes, and they put them in the box. A lot of people in their minds consider that, oh, I vote on election day or I'm an election day voter. Technically, the way the clerk's office – I won't say that this isn't a local clerk's office. This is like the Secretary of State. But they, those votes are technically vote by mail or VBM or mail-in ballots or votes because, of course, you were mailed that ballot. You fill it out. And the difference is you're just taking it to the precinct. But what we do know is people that tend to do that are a lot more aligned with people that are actually filling out their ballot at the precinct. You know, I would say they're more of an old school voter. So, you know, there are 900 plus ballots, between 900 and 980, let's say, that were turned in at the precincts. So, you know, and what's a little frustrating about this process is we don't know if any of those have been counted or not. They definitely all haven't been counted because I know statistically they haven't because election trends say they haven't. So maybe 100 or 150 of them. But anyway, then the drop that was this past Friday was, again, all ballots mailed in or dropped off at boxes around town. So if you think about, like, out in front of the city of Reading, there's a drop box or maybe Holiday Market, et cetera. Those were all of Friday's drop, you know, a couple days ago, were ballots that were received on election day or maybe the day after because they were postmarked, you know, prior to the election. And then those don't get added to the first days of reporting because they have to be processed and signature verified, et cetera. And Joanna and her staff, I mean, they do a great job in terms of processing and going through all the steps the Secretary of State says they have to go to verify signatures and everything else. Now, historically, I have not done great in those drops, in that fourth drop. And, this was really no different in some ways. Like in the primary of 22, I received roughly, or I won't even say roughly, it's exact, I received 41.82%. So the primary of 22, that's when I ran against two opponents, I received 41.82%. And then the general, I received 46.34%. So I improved in the general. This election, I was right at about 49%. I think it was like 48.7%. So I did go up of what historically I had done in the past of that drop. Now, that drop will be, I believe, the last drop that I will not see favorable drops, meaning, I mean, every drop since the first has been favorable. As you've probably noticed, my percentage, I just keep cutting into it. But there was a massive lead at the beginning that I've had to cut into. But we do know there are right about 3,000 votes left overall in District 1. You know, and a quick disclaimer, I have about four different people that look into this data with me from all different angles. So when you think about, you know, a beach ball, you can look at a beach ball that has all the different colored panels, and I could look at one side and it's white, blue, and yellow. But the other person on the other side sees orange, red, and green. So if you spin that beach ball around, you get a very, very different outlook. And that's the thing about the different people I've talked to. So when I say different walks of life, I mean, there's some people that I'm asking about the numbers, and they're not even necessarily supporters. I just really respect their analytical mind, and we can have conversations, because I've always said, you know, I'm always open to having conversations with people that maybe I don't even agree with, because there's a lot to learn there. So bottom line, Kevin, what's your prediction or analysis? So here's how I'm feeling. The remaining votes that come from, you know, no leaning precincts, or let's say precincts that support me, compared to the votes reported on Friday, I mean, the remaining votes come from precincts at this point that are favorable to me. And again, all this information is on the clerk's website. You can click into the different precincts and see, like, you know, Reading 7 I get absolutely destroyed in, but, you know, Reading 27 or Buckeye, some of those areas are, like, fantastic. So I know I have a lot of votes coming from precincts that are favorable to me. Now, that skew alone is worth, I believe, you know, let's just call it 2.6%. So I believe that 52.4% supporters, or let's just call it for no being no on the recall, is the worst case scenario for the remaining votes. So if that happened, if it was 52.4% of the remaining votes, I would, the final result would be me being recalled by 113 votes. So if I receive 52.4%, and I'm believing that, you know, could be the worst case scenario. But again, I could be wrong. I'm going to keep clarifying this, telling people like, hey, I could, you know, I think it's a toss up. But this is just what my numbers, and this is why I'm sharing it here, is because I just didn't want to have this individual conversation with literally, you know, a couple hundred people. And I love so many of you that have just prayed and been concerned and have reached out, but I just, you know, there's been a lot going on, so I'm doing it this way. So, okay, so worst case, possibly, right, final result, I'm recalled by 113 votes, my analysis. However, that doesn't account for the change in type of voter over time. So the recall voters vote very early, and then the no voters vote later. So my supporters definitely vote later. My best estimate is that this trend is worth as much as, let's say, 6% on the supporter side for the remaining votes. So that would give, 58.4% no as best case for remaining vote. That would result in me winning by about 245 votes. Now, that's, of course, pie in the sky. Best it could be, 245 votes. So what's the middle ground? The middle ground is 55.4% no for the remaining vote, accounting for 10% undervotes. And undervotes, if you don't know, those are people that have voted they voted in this election. So maybe they voted for Trump or they voted for Biden, but they didn't vote on the recall race itself. So that scenario results in me staying in office by 35 votes. So obviously none of this is a lock, but I definitely still have a shot, but I am blessed any way this goes because I have an incredible God who loves me. I have a beautiful wife who is my best friend and life partner. I've got amazing kids, a brand new son-in-law that I'm actually becoming quite fond of. probably shouldn't have said that, because if he's listening now, I won't intimidate him so much. No, I'm just kidding, Carson. But, you know, we're also welcoming our first grandchild in April. So, you know, and lastly, I have the most incredible employees and a company. And quite honestly, I don't deserve any of it. The impact we get to make and the things we get to do, it's just like living an absolute dream every single day. And I'm not saying that to sound boastful or prideful or bragging, but I'm just super, super thankful, like super thankful. And I can't even articulate just how blessed I feel. You know, and I'll tell you, when I look back on what we've accomplished in the past 14 months, has been remarkable. The majority of the media has done an amazing job of just sowing unbelievable amounts of discord in this community. They have torn this board majority down every chance they've had. And again, there are some outliers, and there are some outlier stories. So it's not everybody. But, you know, if you'll notice, I don't even talk to the Record Searchlight anymore. You know, I'll talk to Annalise Pierce at the Scout. And I'm not going to get into the TV station stuff, because I have dear people I care about at both stations. But, you know, it's just been tough. Let's just say that. But when you look at what's being reported versus the direction we're going in terms of what the public is saying, these are some of the arguments I'm going to make. So you look at like Measure C, term limits. That's going to pass by like 70 to 75%. I mean, you know, if you're a person running for a third term, you talk about being out of touch with voters. I mean, holy Moses. That is like, I don't even know when, and I don't have the statistics to tell, but I don't even know when something has passed with that kind of fanfare, so to speak. So term limits, I mean, that's just a resounding absolute for sure. And then Measure D, the charter county, you know, that's going to pass probably somewhere in the realm of 55%. Could even be better than that. Who knows? But that might be a little bit more controversial. But and I think that was a little bit, for some, even a little bit harder to understand, that the governor currently, until if this does pass, the governor does get to a point throughout this whole entire year if there's a vacancy. And I think if people really understood how much more local control this is. And again, the one thing about that was the Board of Supervisors getting to a point, or they can leave it vacant to the next election, or they can call for a special election and do it like immediately if they want to do that. So there's options there. But again, those are local options, but that's going to pass. And again, local media is just constantly tearing things down like it's not going in a direction that really everybody would want. And then again, money is being allocated, and it's being set aside for the construction of a new jail. When this board majority took office, when Chris and I, or Supervisor Kelscher and I, took office in the beginning of 2023, the budget was set. So the budget hearings we had last summer, that was already set. So, you know, this board currently didn't get, as a group, a lot of, I would say, direction or say in that. However, we assumed, you know, and this is just, you know what happens when you assume, that money was being set aside for the jail and that was being worked on, because that was something I know Supervisor Kelstrom and I both campaigned on, was getting this jail built downtown, not out anywhere else, but downtown, because that's by far the best and most affordable. Well, I won't say it's the best location, but it's the most affordable location. And no money was really set aside by the people that were there, even though that was a direction clearly that we wanted to go. So when we get to June and all this starts coming out, and again, I've learned a ton about a lot of things around politics in this 14 months. But again, the community absolutely wants a new jail, wants more beds, wants law enforcement supported more and more and more. And the money now being allocated and set aside is growing. And our new CEO, Dave Ricker, is doing a phenomenal job with staff to find every single way we can of how we can allocate as much money to new beds, absolutely. And then the at-home, as another example, to help a population that absolutely needs help. Well, you know, past boards had failed numerous times trying to get navigation centers, and they were doing it the wrong way, and it was for the wrong reasons. And, you know, this board, with the city of Shasta Lake, city of Anderson, city of Redding, as well as the Redding Rancheria, and others are making this happen. So, again, you don't see the media really putting out all these things that the community really, really cares about, and all the good that's been going through. And also, we have, you know, a new CEO, which I just mentioned, Dave Rickert, doing a phenomenal job, a new health officer, a new county council who's starting in April. And I believe that that hits the reset button on what I believe and think has been gripping Shasta County for far too long is the corruption. Now, corruption can be a legal issue or it can be a moral issue. You know, any attorney's job is to serve their client, right? So if you are a defense attorney and you do, you know, let's say murder trials, and that's what you specialize in, and your client did in fact commit murder, you are hired to get them off, essentially. And that's what your job is. Well, a county council's job is to protect their client, and their client is the county of Shasta or whatever county they're serving in. Now, you know, and if their client, essentially, their boss is the Board of Supervisors. And if the Board of Supervisors doesn't, you know, if they're putting truth, honor, justice, righteousness behind, let's not get the county sued, or let's keep things quiet because it doesn't look good for us or the county, that's the direction they choose to go. And, well, you know, I'll tell you what, well, here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back into a few of the things, you know, about what I've found in office the first 14 months, and we're going to start articulating some stuff. Because this isn't about going all scorched earth. This is about just people want to know this stuff. And so we're going to talk a little bit about it. But I will say, at the last 15 minutes or so, we are going to take some callers. The number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. I will tell you now, you're going to ask your question, then I'm going to cut it, because we're not going to have long dialogues, but I do want to hear from people if you do choose to call in. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Hey Redding, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Life. Go ahead with your own life.
All right, we are back. And Christine, thank you. Bringing Billy Joel back in my life. This is my show. Hello again, Kevin Cry, broadcasting live from KCNR downtown Reading, heart of District 1, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. And, of course, listening, you can listen streaming online, kcnr1460.com. All right, before the break, we had talked a little bit about taking callers here, and we've had quite a few already ringing in. So we're going to take some callers here in a few minutes, but I'm going to finish a little bit what I was talking here about not going scorched earth in this component here, but really talking about just what I believe is transparency, because that, again, that's what I really ran on. My whole things were running on transparency, local control, fighting government corruption. And again, I've said it multiple times, government corruption was something that, you know, I believe probably was there. I had no idea, extremely ignorant about how much there truly was. I mean, if you go to Pew Research, which is PEW, you know, that group says that public trust is among the lowest percentages in nearly seven decades of polling that they've done. I mean, it is like, you know, 14 to 16%, like the trust in our government, the public trust in our government. And that is so sad. But, you know, I think a lot of us, and I was one of them that, you know, really always kind of believed the government was pretty, you know, was there, especially locally, like in Shasta County. I mean, I was born in Orange County, but I've grown up in Shasta County. I've lived here, you know, 42 of my 47 years. And I always thought, Shasta County's different. You know, we're not like that. And holy Moses, right? We see COVID. We see the COVID response. We saw what the government did. We see what some of the elected leaders did in office. So he started making us ask a bunch of questions. And that's all I've done is just ask a bunch of questions. So, you know, you take the Zogfire debacle for an example. I mean, I don't know if you know this, and no one's talking about it. And, of course, our ridiculous Record Searchlight isn't going to talk about it, or any of the media for the most part. But Governor Newsom was just ordered to turn over records about the Zogfire, which I'm sure he's going to appeal. And the records were surrounding meetings that were being held between the governor's office and PG&E. I mean, Gavin Newsom's cabinet secretary, Ann Patterson, had at least one meeting, but now it's unclear how many there were. And why is this important, you say? Well, you know, keep in mind, you know, the governor's office hired what I believe to be, you know, I wasn't able to fact check this. I just watched the news report from, I believe it was an LA station. They had an investigative journalist. You know, we don't have investigative journalists anymore, right? At least not in the North State. I mean, and again, they'll tell you this, and this isn't their fault. This is the I won't say the bureaucracy, but the corporate side of it. All they have time for is 60 and 90 second clips. Maybe they don't do a 10 minute expose on something big. So you have these out of town places like LA or Atlanta or other places looking into things in Shasta County or other places to get to the bottom of stuff. So those investigative journalists. So this is the part I can't substantiate, but I believe the governor's office hired a PG&E attorney to write, you know, policy / legislation that would benefit them. You know, you got to keep in mind, PG&E is a major contributor to Gavin Newsom. You know, and in that same breath, locally, and here's where, you know, I'm going to tread lightly, but I think it's important. You know, in that same breath, locally, I know that top county officials were wiping their calendars of such meetings surrounding the Zogfire that they were having when I started asking questions. And, you know, and why is it that they do that? You'd ask, and I would ask the same thing. Why, what are we hiding? What are we covering up? What does it matter? And, you know, and this goes along with, you know, me having, you know, evidence that employees were monitoring my emails and feeding them places. Evidence, people, evidence. And, this is why I brought the whistleblower presentation, because if I don't survive this recall, and when I say survive, I'm talking about if I don't remain in office, the whistleblower presentation is going to give a lot of people the opportunity to come forward and be protected. And I wanted to make sure that people know they have rights, and there are people that will mind the gap, that will be the breachers, that will be there shoulder to shoulder to make sure righteousness, honesty, integrity is, at the forefront of what happens. I've been asked, you know, are you going to stay involved in politics if you're not in office? And honestly, I don't even think about not being in office or being in office. It's just not how I live my life. I don't live my life thinking about the what ifs. Now, my wife would chuckle and she would, you know, she would say, well, that's not true because I sit here and I pore over numbers. And it's not because I'm like a nervous Nelly. I'm just super interested in data, and I'm super interested in the science of, you know, voting now or in government about doing the work of making sure people feel heard. Because that's what I think is the most important thing that we can do as elected officials is listen and help when we can, because so many people don't have a voice. You know, I'll go back to the notary fees, and this is another one of the things when we talk back about, you know, Measure C and D and the jail money and all the good things we've done, like the impact fee thing or the notary impact. You know, a person goes and says, hey, these notary fees are too high, and they're told, no, they're not. So they come to me and we do an audit, and then the auditor control, and Nolde Short, finds that we're, you know, nearly charging people 40% too much, and we're refunding money. I mean, this is what government is supposed to be about. The government is the people. And if we don't have the people there pushing for the people, what are we doing? And so the Zog Fire thing, I mean, that's far from over in terms of what I think is going to happen. Time will tell. I know that there are some more things that will be coming out in the future months, in the next, I don't know if it's a month or 6 months, but, you know, the truth sets things free, and we have so many great department heads now. And I'm not saying we have it in the past, but we are really moving. And when I say we, I'm not talking about as a board of supervisors. I'm talking about we as a county, as constituents, as citizens that live here. We are moving into truly a great time for the county, I believe, in terms of, you know, possible economic growth, safety, and a lot of it is some of the decisions that this board has made. So with that, I know we have a few callers. I'm going to take the first one, but I will say again, for those that have called in, you'll ask the question, and then I'm going to get to it because I want to be able to get to as many as I can. So first caller, who is there, sir or ma'am?
Hello?
Hello? Is that Terry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Hey. I just have a quick question, Kevin. And the question is, if the charter county passes, when does the charter county take effect?
Great question. So the charter county, if it passes, and I right now I believe it will pass because the votes left are going to trend more, I would say, conservative. And if you look at the breakdown, the conservative votes come in later. That will take effect January 1st of 2025. So it won't have any bearing on this current year if there is a vacancy, whether it's my vacancy or if anybody else gets out of office prior. So, yes.
Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Have a great day. Christina, is there, I know, is there, okay, so they hung up. So if you want to call back, I know I apologize because I didn't get to some of the callers quickly, but you can call in 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567 if you want to have a little bit of a chat about some of this. You know, and one of the things, too, I was at Kaleidoscope this last Friday. I did my coffee with Kevin. I do it at 8 o'clock. 8 a.m. every Friday, and it's the Kaleidoscope on Athens. We always have anywhere from, you know, 8 to 15. Sometimes I think the most we've ever had, I think, was 19, almost 20. And we had an individual show up this last week, and I don't like to use names without usually permission, and not that I couldn't, but an individual showed up, and it was a little bit, let's just say, somewhat confrontational, but you know that's okay. And that was the very first one that I've had in, you know, 2 years of doing this. But again, you know, it's about having just conversations. And again, however this whole thing goes, I don't like to use the word like proud because it sounds prideful, but I'm thankful for the opportunity. But really, I've really enjoyed getting to know as many people and the work that we've done, and I hope we get to continue to do, just makes people's lives better. All right, so we have another caller. We're going to take this caller here in a second. Christina's writing it down very fast. Okay, Ken. Ken, are you there?
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Yes, I am.
Hello, Ken. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, Kevin.
Oh, it's Ken.
You know.
Ken.
Yeah,
Ken.
Yeah,
hey,
Redding
7, man. He's Ken is one of my supporters that lives in the belly of the beast, one of the worst precincts for me, and Ken lives right in the heart of it with his vote no on the recall sign. And Ken, how you doing this morning, man? Good to talk to you.
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. A little early for me, but hey, I just wanted to let you know my wife picked up the paper yesterday, and she was reading it to me, and she says, oh, Tim Garmin says, hey, he can't wait for government. This, you know, recall is needed, and he can't wait for government to get back to normal. And that's exactly what we don't want. So that's, you know, that's why it's so important that you get the word out. It's so important that you can continue to do what you do, because we don't want government to go back to normal. That's the last thing we want. And I found it very interesting he said that. And I also found it very sad. And, you know, the average person, you're exactly right. The average person wants government to work for them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Ken, thank you so much. You know what? And stay on, Ken, if you don't mind.
Okay.
If you're not going to hit the mountain bike trails.
It's too cold.
It's too cold still. Exactly. So the thing with, you know, that statement, and I did, someone sent that to me, and what's really disheartening about that is, you know, Supervisor Garmin talked about the movement, you know, how we, and I don't know who we is, maybe it's myself or Supervisor Jones or Kellstrom or whoever, like killed, he called it their movement. Well, what he doesn't understand is he was in some ways at the beginning the face to some degree of that movement. And he got in, and I can't tell you what a man or a woman thinks, because I can't stand it when someone says, oh, you know, because you thought this. I don't know what a person thinks. What I believe,
right.
What I believe is he got in, he saw what's really going on, and he freaked out, and he turned, because, you know, he told me in my first few weeks, like I'm talking, I think it was in January, I think it was before our second meeting, and it might have been in February before. But when Supervisor Jones or Chair Jones at the time started talking about Dominion, and he goes, they're going to use that to recall you. And I just looked at him and I was like, so? Right is right. I mean,
that's exactly it. And that's why we need you to stay in office, to continue to work on these things that other people won't.
Yeah,
it's just vital to our county.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing that I do get beat up quite a bit for from supporters, you know, Nick Gardner's one of them. He's pretty mad at me, jokingly mad at me, that I didn't go scorched earth a lot sooner. But I'll tell you why some of this stuff. And it's not that I'm going scorched earth now, but, you know, I don't want to get the county sued. And there are a lot of people that really have been in government a long time, and they understand the game and the system and how they can, tie me up legally where I can't talk about things, and they've done a great job of that. And but again, you know, the day's coming. I have the recordings, the audio depositions. I have the emails. I have the substantiated information I need. So really, I just let, you know, people keep talking, and the truth is going to come out on a whole bunch of things. And in reality, what Nick's upset about is, you know, that I didn't come forward. He goes, Kevin, you would have won by 70 or 80% if people really knew what you've been through. And he doesn't even know what I've been through. He just believes me because we've spent enough time together that he knows you know, I've got nothing to win or nothing to really gain by staying in office. I just want to give the government, I just want to give the county government and government in general back to the people where it belongs. And, if I do survive this, it's not going to be vindictive. I'm not going to be lashing out. It's just going to be very matter of fact. We just keep moving forward as like business as usual. We just keep getting things done. And going back to your original comment about the, you know, the stuff in the paper, I don't think people are going to be asleep ever again as they were pre-COVID. And I think now they're going to be it's going to be much more heightened. And I think the critique of the public, and I don't mean the public in terms of who just gets their news from the crap media, the majority, not all, because we do have some good ones still, individuals. But, you know, if the people are getting it from there, they're not the ones that know. But the people walking around Costco, people walking around Winco, Raley's, people that are at Oasis Fun Center or the bowling alley, or they're at, you know, the food truck park, which just opened this last week. I mean, those people are going to know what's going on, and they're going to see the elected officials. And those elected officials have to look these people in the eye while they're standing in line, and they're going to say, hey, I know what you're doing. I know you're covering stuff up, or I know you're maneuvering this. And
that's what we want, Kevin. When a group says they're going to recall you before you even have a chance to get elected and in, if you do get elected and they said they would recall you, what are they afraid of? I mean, I use that term a lot of times for folks I went and talked to about you, and they said, yeah, what are they afraid of? And so that makes you very suspicious. We're going to recall this guy before he even gets a chance to get his feet in office. That's scary.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and the other side, I mean, they weren't stupid. They're not stupid individuals. They're just, I think, pretty evil. And I think some of the ones at the top, I mean, I know some of the ones at the top are afraid of what I'll find out or what I already know. And they know. They know that I know. And that's okay, because I'm going to just keep, I'm going to keep doing me, and I'm going to keep putting the county first, and as long as I'm in this seat. But, hey, Ken, thanks for calling, man. I really appreciate it. Tell your bride, tell Chris good morning. And
I certainly will, and don't ever back down.
Well, hey, you know what, Ken, and I'll say this, too, and for the listeners. Ken is probably one of the least political people I had ever met on the campaign trail. I mean, Ken, if you had to say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being super political and 1, like, you know, the opposite, prior to my election, what would you say you were?
Probably negative 5.
Negative 5. Yeah, Ken is, in his words, probably the most liberal supporter I have, in his words. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Both me and my wife were probably your most liberal supporters. I didn't even know what district I lived in 6 months prior to my first phone call to you.
Yeah. And Ken, if any of you ever saw my victory video that we did, which was a culmination of just a bunch of just clips and stuff like that from the election of 22, Ken was in there because he was the first official voter I flipped, meaning he called me after the primary, wanted to ask me some questions. He had voted for my opponent in the primary, and then him and his wife, you know, became Team Cry. And they put a couple signs up, or they took a sign, then they took more signs, and then took more signs. Ken and I have now developed quite a relationship, and I've met Ken's wife is Filipino, and I've gotten to the Filipino community, they've just endeared themselves to me. They're some of the best, hardest working, nicest people I've ever met. And so this is where I can reflect back, regardless of the outcome on Tuesday and Friday of this week, and just say, man, it has been a blessing and such an honor to get to know so many people I would have never met. My wife would say she could take it or leave it, but I'm joking. But she, because she's had to wear that differently. But, Ken, thank you so much for calling in. And it's awesome, man, having you call in and that you listen. So thank you.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. And I'm sorry about that, Christine. I know we had a couple other callers that probably dropped off. But that's what's great about having my own show, right? I can say, hey, ask your question, get off the phone. And I feel bad because Terry, we had quite a few calls in, and I was going to really try and stay on pace. But then I wound up just talking to Ken, because that relationship with Ken is one that I would have never, ever imagined I would be so close. And we've never mountain biked. We've only done a couple things socially. Like, I went to the Valentine's, the Filipino Valentine's Day celebration. I think I went to a different party last year. So I've been to a couple of those events with him, but that's really it. And I met him through this process. So again, if you want to call in, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Got a few more minutes here, and I'm going to start closing up a little bit with a couple up. Oh, phone's ringing again, so we're going to take a call. But, it's really important that what Ken's message is about staying vigilant and staying the course. I mean, that's what we have to do. You know, and I was asked by, I think it was Nick Gardner, actually, if I was going to continue my radio show. And I am for the foreseeable future. I don't know how long I'm going to do it. And that's if I stay in office or not, because there's so much work to do. But I have enjoyed, doing this. And I hope it's been helpful. I hope it's added value to your life and understanding of what's going on in the county. And, you know, one of the most important things for me to do this is just to be accessible to the people that put me in office or that didn't vote me in office, but they want to get a chance to, you know me and work with me. So it looks like, oh boy, Christina, that is a, so let's just put the person in and then, we won't even, hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, this is Bruce.
Oh, Bruce, okay, yeah, Christina, my, our producer, who is an amazing young lady, Ukrainian. I think English is like maybe her third or fourth language, and so I thought it was Beatrice, but it's Bruce. So
Nope, she does an amazing job.
Christina, you are a rock star. So, yep. Okay, Bruce, yes, sir.
Two quick questions. One, if the election's super close and there's some justification that, hey, maybe you ought to do a recount the votes, can a total 100% manual recount be done, or is that going to be considered illegal by the state?
No, I mean, no. Thank you for that, Bruce, because I'm going to get to another caller, but I'll answer that. The recount is a possibility. I think it's triggered if it's within 100 votes, and that's just done regardless. And I think the likelihood of, you know, it being, you know, 200 votes either way is very, very likely. Will I seek a recount, or will the other side seek a recount? I don't know. That's something you'd probably have to ask each side in that moment. But they do, of course, allow recounts when elections are close, and you can always pay for one if you want. So at this time, I can't even comment on that because I'll have time to make that decision as it comes closer. So the next caller, thank you, Bruce. Jenny, are you there?
Hi.
Jenny, how you doing? You're on the air.
Okay, hi. So I was listening.
Is this Jenny from Kaleidoscope?
Yes.
All right, Jenny from Kaleidoscope. Okay, how you doing, Jenny?
Hi. So I was listening, and here's the deal. Well, I didn't believe in your recall because, frankly, I feel if they were mad, they recalled the wrong person. But I do have to say calling people evil or saying that they tried to recall you before you were even in, I know those things weren't true. But I also think that the recall was kind of stupid.
Well, Jenny, thank you. So here's what I'll tell you. There's, you know, and this is where, sorry, you, when a person says they know something, well, I mean, again, that is a statement that, that's a feeling. Because what I can tell you is, I know that, I was never surprised that the recall was going to move forward because I was told that. So I know that's true. And when I say evil, the definition of evil to me, and again, it's not so much, this isn't about how I'll tell you what I'll do. I am going to read. I'm going to Google it right now. We don't have much more time. Christina, how much more time do I have? I got 2 minutes. So I'm going to really quickly here pull up the definition of evil because I don't want to really spend the last few seconds on a negative note. But the reason I say evil is because it is. And so here's the adjective, profoundly immoral and wicked. Embodying or associated with the forces of the devil. I don't think that's true. Harmful or tending to harm, right? Harmful or tending to harm. So that, the adjective of evil, right? Harmful or tending to harm. And that's exactly what this group has done. They have made up unbelievable amounts of lies. They've said whatever it would take to get someone to sign something to get me on the ballot. I have more people that said, hey, I send and the other thing too, I'm going to clarify, you know, there's only a few of them that were evil. There could have been people that were just there's people that were just politically passionate, but there are some that are extremely evil and they know exactly what they were doing. Like the noun of evil, something which is harmful or undesirable. These people, they know what they've done. They know who they're trying to protect. They know they don't like questions asked. And, I will go to the grave standing by that, term of evil. Because it just is. So anyway, we have about one more minute. And, again, this Tuesday, will be a drop. The drop, and I've already articulated at the beginning of the show, will be, probably, I'm guessing somewhere between, let's say 800 and 1500 votes, could be more. And then Friday's drop could be somewhere between, depending on what Tuesday's drop is, between 500 and maybe 1000. And then the coming drops that following week will just be very, very small batches, like 100, 150, and those won't really move. So I think the election, I won't say will come down to Tuesday, But the election in a few of the races, is going to be definitely we'll get a much better indication of where these are going on Tuesday. So with that, Shasta County, you have a phenomenal week. Weather the rain here the next couple of days because it's going to be sunny towards the end. You have a blessed rest of your day, and we'll see you and talk to you all soon. Thank you.